Okay, good morning everybody on Freiluch and Chanukah. Today's daf is Tainis Daf Chaf. We left off on Daf Yutas and Beis where Tanur Rabbanan Pam Achas toward the bottom of Daf, I guess 8-10 lines from the end of the page on Daf Yutas and Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and it's also sponsored by Friends of the Beach Minyan L'zechus Rufo Shlema Fa'aryeh David Alevi Ben Yehuda Shirish Rufo Shlema B'soch Shar Chole Yisrael. So today we begin all of the stories in this Pirkei Dechasida, in this parak that has so many stories. We're going to start with the story of Nachtimon Ben-Gurion borrowing springs of water and promising to repay it by having it rain, and if he doesn't repay it, then he's going to owe a lot of money. And then it rained after the last minute, and the miracle that happened on account of Nachtimon Ben-Gurion, that's going to lead us to a discussion of three other people that the sun was adjusted for their sake. And then the Gemara is going to put a positive spin on four different psukim that seem to be saying absolutely terrible things, and even the location of these psukim in Megillas Eicha would suggest that they're saying terrible, terrible things, but the Gemara is going to put a positive spin on them. And then the Gemara is going to say that the attitude that a Talmud Chacham should have, that a person should be soft, a person should be flexible, and not act with gaiva, and not be too proud and arrogant, and that's why the Sefer Torah is written with a reed, which is something that is soft and flexible. The Gemara is going to tell us a story where gaiva didn't work out so well for a person. The Gemara is going to tell us two stories where they relied on the zechuyos of very great people to avoid dangerous situations, and particularly Rav Ada Bar Ava. Whenever there was a place of danger, they would that was their trick. They would bring Rav Ada Bar Ava into the place, and they knew that they were safe by throwing Rav Ada Bar Ava in there. So the Gemara is going to say, "Wow, who is this Rav Ada Bar Ava? What kinds of anhagos did he have that he was zochet such things?" So the Gemara is going to identify seven hanhagos of Rav Ada Bar Ava. Then the Gemara is going to say, "But you know, Rav Huna wasn't chopped liver either. Rav Huna, who relied on the zechuyos of Rav Ada Bar Ava, was only doing so mitochan vasnuso, because he was so humble, but really he had some pretty great zechuyos as well." And the Gemara is going to tell us four things about Rav Huna as well. So let's begin. Tan Rabbanan Yutas Amveis Pamachas Olu Kol Yisrael Leregel Yerushalayim Lo Yelamayim Lishtos. One time, all the Jewish people went to Yerushalayim, and there was no water to drink. Halach Nachtim Ben Gurion Etzel Adon Echot. So Nachtim Ben Gurion, who was the richest man in Yerushalayim, went to a certain Adon who had a lot of natural springs of water in his fields. Amar Lo, and Nachtim made a deal with the fellow. He said, Halveni Shteimus Remayonos Mayim Lo Regalim, if you could lend me 12 of your springs that you have in your field for the Ole Regalim so that they could have water, and I'll pay you back with those springs filled up. Even though the Ole Regalim are going to drink so much water from them, I guarantee you that it's going to rain. That's how I'm going to pay back. I guarantee you that it's going to rain and it's going to refill all of those springs. And if I don't pay you back in rain, meaning if you don't get back the water, then I'm going to pay you an exorbitant sum of money. And he was good for it. He was a wealthy man. So Vakavalo's man, they established the time that the loan was due. By the time that came, it hadn't yet rained. So Bishachris, the morning of the due date, Shalachlo, Shagarli Omayim Omo, Sheshlibiarcha, the fellow sent to Nachtimon Ben Gurion, send me either the water or the money that you have. So Shalachlo, Nachtimon Ben Gurion responded, Adayin Yeshli's man, I still have time, Kalyom Kulushaliyu. Today is the due date, but it's ad viad bechlal. So it's not yet the time to pay. It's only when this day is over that it's going to be time to pay. Why didn't the fellow send him the night before already to ask him if the fellow was under the impression that was the due date? Because by the Yom HaSo'olam, the Marsha points out, the Laila's Holech Achar Yom. It's not the Yom Holech Achar Laila. Which, when you keep that in mind, the Hemshech of the story is it changes a little bit in terms of how we view the Hemshech of the story. So B'tzarayim, and then when it came time for Mincha Gedola in the afternoon, Shalach Lo Shigar Li Yom Ayim Amos Yesh Li Biyadecha, send me either the water or the money. Shalach Lo Adayin Yesh Li Shus Biyom, I still have time. But Mincha, when it came time for Mincha Ketana, Shalach Lo Shigar Li Yom Ayim Amos Yesh Li Biyadecha, send me one or the other. Shalach Lo Adayin Yesh Li Shus Biyom, day is still not over yet. Ligleg Alav Oso Adon, so the fellow was mocking Nagdimon, he laughed at him, Amar Kolash on the Kulula Yarduk Shamim. The whole year it hasn't rained. V'achshav Yarduk Shamim, now all of a sudden that's going to change. And you think Dafka in the 11th hour, that's when it's Dafka going to rain at this point in time? It's not happening. Just pay me the money. Nichlas Beis HaMerchatz B'Simcha. This Adon went into the Beis HaMerchatz overjoyed because he was about to make a whole lot of money. Ad Sha'adon Nichlas B'Simcha Sol Beis HaMerchatz Akdimon Nichlas Beis HaMikdash K'shu Atzev. While this fellow fellow was going into the Beis HaMerchat, so all overjoyed, Nachdimon went into the Beis HaMikdash and he was sad. Nisatev v'amad b'tfila, and he wrapped himself in his talis and he davened. And Amar Lefanav, Nachdimon said, Ribono Shalolam, Kaliv yodol v'necha shalolu chvodiyas, hisi v'lo chvod Beis Abba, hisa, you know that I didn't do this for my own honor, I didn't do this for the honor of my family, el kvodcha asisi, I did this for your honor, shiumay mitzuyin l'olei regalim, that there should be water available for the olei regalim, and that's the greatest zechus to daven in, not in the zechus, not in my own zechus, everything's about the kvod shemayim, and in order to enhance kvod shemayim, right, that's what the Gemara says at the beginning of Brachos, that Eliyahu HaNavi let us in on the secret, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu laments the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, when we say Yehei Shmo HaGadol Mevarach, when we say Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach, when we're davening for the covet of the Ribbono Shel, that's the most powerful tefillah, when we daven for the covet of the Ribbono Shel. Sanktim Ben Gurion knew this secret, so he said, it's not my covet, it's not my family's covet, it's your covet, Ribbono Shel Olam. So miyad niskashu Hashamayim ba'avim, right away it became very cloudy, v'yorduk shamach in smal shtemes v'mayonos mayim, and it rained till the springs filled up with water, v'osiru, and there was even extra. Ad shiyatza adon beis amerchas, Sanktim Ben Gurion yotzi beis amigdash, and then everyone left, the adon left the beis amerchas, and Nachdima left the beis amigdash, k'shapag v'zebezeh, and they left at the same time, they ran into each other on the street, so Amarlo, Nachdima said to the adon, ten li d'mei mayim yoseh shiyesh li v'yadecha, by my account, you owe me money now, because I gave you back more than the water that you gave me, it rained so much. Can you imagine, one day of rain, one hour of rain, how long did it rain for already? And it must have poured, and I'm giving you back more than you asked for. The Marsha points out, that wasn't part of the deal. The deal was that you pay back in water, you pay back in money. The deal was not that he's going to have to pay you for the extra water. So Marsha says, no, since the guy was mocking him, Lig-Lig-Alav, so Nachdim Ben-Gurion was mocking the fellow. He wasn't saying it literally. He was making a mockery of him, that that it's ki'ilu, you owe me money. So Amar Lo, the Adon said, Yodea, Nishlo Yerushakosh Baruch HaSalam El Bishvilcha, I know that Hashem did this miracle for you. But I still have a taina against you that I could collect on. Because the sun is already set. So now if you keep in mind what happened at the beginning of the story, that the Marsha said that he didn't ask him the night before because he holds that the Laila is holy chachar hayom. So shaka achama should make no difference to this fellow. Right? But nevertheless, since they were going by Nachdim and Ben-Gurion wanted to go by Jewish dates, so shaka alav chama should make a difference. So, and therefore, the Gesham and Bereshusi Yardu, that rain is all my rain after the time of the payment has already come and gone. Chazav Nichus Beis HaMikdash, Nachdim and Ben-Gurion went back into Beis HaMikdash, Nisatev, Amid Tefillah, and he wrapped himself again, and he started davening. Now, what greater Zechus of Tefillah can he have possibly than the davening in the Zechus of the Ribbono Shel Olam, in the covenant of the Ribbono Shel Olam? So here's what he did. V'amar Lefanav Ribbono Shel Olam, Hodash Yeshcha Ahuvim Ba'olamcha. Let it be known that you love the Jewish people. Let it be known that you have that there's a relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Miyad Nispazru Ha'avim V'zorcha Chama. That was the ultimate tefillah. The clouds dispersed and the sun shone through the clouds and apparently the sun stayed in place. Obviously this was past the time that they expected Shkias Ha'chama to be. Otherwise the fellow would not have had a taina. So it wasn't just that it became cloudy. That's what the Achronim point out. It wasn't just that it became cloudy and they didn't know whether the sun had set or not. They knew the sun must have set because it was already time for Shkia. They looked at the time of sunset in the, you know, on the Zmana map or whatever, and it was past that time already that the sun was supposed to set. But it was but the sun stayed in its place for the sake of Nachdimon. But also Shah, at that time the miracle happened. Amar Lo Adon, the guy said to Nachdimon, Ilu lo nitra chama hayli pischon pe'alecha shotzi mimcha ma'osai. Had it not been for this miracle that was done for you, that the sun continues to shine, then I would have been able to get my money from you. So Tana lo Nachdimon Shemo Ella Buni Shemo. His name wasn't really Nachdimon. That's just what we call him. His name was Buni. V'lamenikra Shemo Nachdimon. Why is he called Nachdimon? Shenikdera Chama Bavuro. Because the sun shone on his behalf. So it's a lashon of Nikdema that preceded. It jumped ahead. So that's why he was called Nachdimon, because the sun changed its path on his behalf. Nachdimon was special, but he was not totally unique in this regard. There are three different people that in their zuchus the sun shone when it wasn't supposed to shine. In the Gevura Sari, the Shagasari writes that it says ba'avuran to say that even though these miracles happened for the sake of Am Yisrael, right? Nachdimon, this was for the sake of the Jewish people, but it says ba'avuran to tell us that the zuchus of these tzaddikim was great enough that even for them alone the miracle would have happened for them. So who are these people? people, Moshe, Yeshua, and Nachtim Ben Gurion. It's Moshe, Yeshua, and Nachtim Ben Gurion. The Rishonim raised the question that there seem to have been more people. Yaakov Avinu, the son changed its course for Yaakov Avinu, Chizkiyahu HaMelech. So you had other people throughout history, but for whatever reason, the Gemara highlights these three, Moshe, Yeshua, and Nachdimon. So Bishlam and Nachdim Ben Gurion Gemara. I understand Nachdim Ben Gurion, where we know that the son changed its course for him. We just learned that story. That's the Gemara we just said. Yeshua, Nami, Mikra, Kra, Dechziv. But Yeshua is also a Pasuk. Because the Pasuk says, a very famous Pasuk, that Vayomer Leinei Yisrael, Shemesh B'Givon Dom V'Yarech Be'Emek Ayalon. So Yeshua asked that the Shemesh, the sun, should stay in its place and should not set, so that they could finish off the war. And the Pasuk says, following that, Vayidom HaShemesh V'Yarech Hamad, that the sun and the moon stopped in their place. That was for the sake of that Yeshua asked for it. He dafka asked that it should be the Shemesh B'Givon Dom V'Yarech Be'Emek Ayalon. That let it be like that, and his tefillah was answered. Ela Moshe Min Olam. But where do we find that this happened for Moshe Rabbeinu? So Amar Rav Elazar Asya, Achel, Achel. It's a Gzeir Roshava. Ksiv Hach, it says by Moshe Rabbeinu with the Melchama against Sichon Va'og, Achel, taste Pachtecha, Uksiv Hasselman by the Melchama with Yoshua against the seven nations, it says Achel Gadelcha. So we learn the Sassam in Amufurush, it's just like by Yoshua, the son was stayed in place in order to help him in the war effort, so too by Moshe Rabbeinu, the son stayed in his place in order to help him finish off the war effort and not have to take a break while they had the momentum on their side. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar, Asya, taste. The pasuk is a different gzeira shava. Taste. Ksiv hach, it says by the Melchama of Moshe Rabbeinu, Achel taste pachtecha. Uksiv hasam by the Melchama of Yeshua, it says biyom taste Hashem es Amori. So just like the defeat of the Amori by the Jewish people was on account of the sun staying in its place, so too Moshe Rabbeinu also benefited from the sun staying in its place. Rabbi Yochan Amar, Asya mikufe dekra. You don't need a gzeira shava. It's from the pasuk itself that you learn that Moshe Rabbeinu was zochet to this, because Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu that, like we just quoted the pasuk, that Hayom Azah Chol Teis Pach Chaviras Chal Bnei Am Tachs Kol Hashemayim, and it says Asher Yishmun Shimacha V'Rugzu V'Cholu Mipanecha. So Amos, I Rugzu V'Cholu Mipanecha. When are they going to be frightened from you, Mipanecha? B'Shosh Niktam Lochama LeMoshe. Why would they be so frightened? Because they see that Hashem is changing my separations from Moshe Rabbeinu. That the son, so it's from the pasuk itself. Come on, the pasuk, you call that a drasha directly from the pasuk? Doesn't say anything about the son. It just says that they're afraid of him because we're editorializing. Oh, why were they afraid? It must be that a miracle happened. Which miracle? Let's say the son, that the son stayed in the place. It doesn't seem to emerge from the pasuk itself that it's about the son. So the Benayahu, one of the commentaries on the Ben Yoyada, the Benayahu writes that the Mipanecha is Merumas to the Gemara in Babasra. The Gemara in Babasra in the fifth parak says that Pnei Moshe Kepnei Chama. So it's Mipanecha, that's a reference to the son, because Pnei Moshe Kepnei Chama, Pnei Yoshua is Kepnei Levana, the Gemara says. That's what the Gemara says, that the Zekenim Shabos Hadar said, Oilan Elos Abusha, Oilan Elos Achlima, that it's so humiliating for us that we used to have a Moshe Rabbeinu whose face shone like the sun, Kikaran Arpanav, he was like the sun, and now we only have Yoshua whose face shines like the moon and not like the sun. That's what the Bali Musar point out, that they're not lamenting the Yeridas Hadaros. Yeridas Hadaros is a natural thing. Nobody's going to measure up to Moshe Rabbeinu. What they were lamenting was that Oilanu lo subusha, Oilanu lo sachlima, that we had the potential to be a Yahushua also. We also could have been as great as Yahushua. It's just that Yahushua was Zocha because he was Meshamish as Rabbo more than the rest of them were. So he didn't say, Oy le Klal Yisrael or Oy le Yahushua, Oilanu, that it's a woe unto us, we the Zakenim. But bottom line is that Gemara tells us that Moshe is Nimshal to the Zakenim, that the Pnei Moshe is Kepnei Chama, and therefore it emerges from the Pasuk itself. V'cholumi Panecha, that they're going to be rugs. They'll be frightened because of what your face represents, which is the sun. The Mishnah said that if it doesn't rain in a particular city, that is something that we're matria on. That's something that we scream out or blow shofar or whatever matria means. And we learn from there that that's considered a tzara. The pasuk tells us in Amos that sometimes one city will have rain, another city will not have rain. Some Rabbi when we describe one city having rain and one city not having rain, that's a klala for both of them. Why is it a klala for the city that has rain? Because not every rain is good rain. Sometimes the rain is going to come down so forcefully in one city it's going to destroy all the crops, and the other city, it dries up all the crops because it doesn't rain. So it's both a klala. So since the Gemara quotes Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav, that it's meant to be a klala, that both sides are meant to be a klala, the Gemara brings other drushos that are flipped, things that sound like they're a klala, but in fact are a bracha. Because we just quoted a pasuk that says that even in a place that it rains, it's really said the klala, which sounds like a bracha. So sometimes you have the opposite, that something sounds like a klala, but really there's a hidden bracha. So for example, the pasuk says, so you see Yerushalayim l'nida b'neihem. The Yerushalayim was like a nida. Amar Avidom Merav, so it sounds like a klala, but really, lebracha. Kenida, in the sense that as follows, that how is being a nida a bracha? Manida yesh laheter. A nida is a temporary condition, but ultimately she's going to be able to be tovel, and she's going to be able to become tahora. The Ein Yaakov writes that we compare to a nida, because midin Torah, a nida is different than a zava. When a woman is a zava gedola, she requires shiva nekiyim. So first of all, she has to stop bleeding, and once she stops bleeding, then she needs an additional shiva nekiyim. A nida could bleed for 7 days straight, and at the end of the 7 days, min haTorah, she goes to the mikveh right away and she's tahara. So says the Ein Yaakov, that's the mashal to a nida, that since she could bleed 7 days straight and then be tovelis and be tahara, unlike a zava, Yerushalayim, as soon as it does shuva, tachzor l'kadmusa, Yerushalayim will go back to its former glory the moment it does shuva. We're not going to have to prove ourselves. There's not going to be some period of time. It's going to be right away. As soon as we do shuva, it's going to be immediate. The nida does have to stop bleeding by the end of the 7 days in order to go to the mikvah. She does have to have that moment where she stops bleeding, because if she continues to bleed after the 7 days, then she goes into Yemei Ziva, she remains tameh. So Av Yerushalayim Yesh LaTakana. So just like a nida, it's only a temporary condition and she can become tahora, so too we're giving the mashal that Yerushalayim also can have a takana. Haisa kalmana, then the second thing we said that sounds like a curse, that Yerushalayim was like an almana, Amr of Yehuda lebracha. That is also a bracha. Almana below almana mamish, like an almana, but not actually an almana. El kisha shalach bayil medina siam v'daito lachzor aleha. Rather, like a woman whose husband went away for a long time and he plans on returning. So right now she is like an almana. That's what Chazal have the expression an almana mechayim. That sometimes the husband is alive, but she's like an almana because the husband is never there. He's always away. So Yerushalayim is like an almana, but at least the one who's like an almana, but not a real almana, in that the husband is going to be returning. The Rif on the Ein Yaakov says the reason these psukim appear in Eicha, even though they're really a bracha, is because temporarily they are a klala. Meaning, in the meantime, it is kenida. In the meantime, it is kalmana. So it's not enjoyable in the meantime. But there's hope. That's the point. That ultimately it's going to change. Just like this almana mechayim, her husband is going to return. That's the maisa that Shlomo Fisher's wife told Mechaverim that she said that Shlomo Fisher used to go every single week from the day after Sheva Brachos. He would leave for the whole week. He'd stay in yeshiva the whole week. He'd only come home on Shabbos. And one time she asked him for a bracha. She needed a bracha for something. And he said, I don't give bracha. He never gave brachas to anybody. He thought it was Gnevis Das to give brachas. People are only asking for brachas because they think he's a special person and he's not a special person. So he wouldn't give brachas. So she asked him for a bracha. His wife asked him for a bracha. And he said, no. And she said, why not? You're a Talmud Chacham. He said, no, I'm not a Talmud Chacham. So I can't, you know, and you think I am, so that's why I can't give a bracha. So she says, she started to cry. She said, she cried to him. She said, for my entire life, for decades, I've been an almana mechayim. You leave me the whole week and to go learn in yeshiva all day. And you tell me you're not a Talmud Chacham. And he said, you're right. I better learn better. So he went right back to his learning, and he became to try to become a bigger Talmud Chacham. So almana mechayim, you have this concept of an almana mechayim, that someone can, right now, she's not really an almana, he's going to come back. But then another pasuk that I've made you like nivzim u'shvalim, like low lives. So it seems terrible. I'm Rav Yehuda lebracha. That's also a bracha. That I didn't put you in charge of collecting taxes. I didn't give you any prestigious positions, because when you have prestigious positions, you're not going to have time to be osik b'torah. So the fact that you have these jobs that are more menial and that you're not able to, that don't take much of your time, that don't take a significant amount of your time, that means that you're able to learn Torah. So you think it's not a bracha because you're not successful. It is a bracha because you can have more time to learn. I remember when our shul did a dinner on our 10-year anniversary, so Rav Shechter spoke on the video. So the whole dinner was about the shul should be growing and we should build and it should be more people and it should be, and Rav Shachter said on the video, and I give a bracha that the shul should stay small so that you shouldn't take up too much of the rabbi's time so that he can have more time to learn. And everyone's like, that's not the bracha. We want to grow. Sometimes the bracha is that you should have time to learn. So when Yeravam sinned and Klali, and he was machti Klali Yisrael, so Achia Shiloni says in his nevuah about that, V'yika Hashem Yisrael kasher yonu lakona b'mayim, also sounds like a klala that Hashem should strike Klali Yisrael like the water hits against the reed. Amar Rav Yudah Marav lebracha, that's also a bracha. Amar Rav Shlomo Bar Nachmani Amar Rav Yonasan, my dechsev ne'aman and pitzei oiv v'ne'ataris neshikos sonei. What does it mean when the pasuk says, it sounds like it's saying that when an ohev strikes you or hits you, that's more valuable and more precious to you than a kiss that you get from an enemy. Meaning sometimes tough love is better than someone who falsely acts like he's loving you. So tova klala shekilu achia shiloni es Yisrael. The klala that achia shiloni gave klal Yisrael was better for us. Yosef mibracha shebirchon bilam arasha, better than the bracha that bilam arasha gave us. Achia shiloni kilon bekana. Achia shiloni cursed us by saying we should be struck like a reed. Amalem Yisrael, what he was telling him is v'hika Hashem is Yisrael, that Hashem will strike Klal Yisrael and we're not going to have rest because we're going to be constantly be punished and be battered kasher yonu lakana, like the kana is battered by the mayim. So even at a time where of klala, we're like a kana that stands in the water. Now ma kana zu omid b'mako mayim, the kana, first of all, it stands in the water, it doesn't dry out. So you see that in mayim el Torah. And it has the maila that if it does get cut, something else will grow right away in its place. Ushrashim Rubin, and it has very deep roots. And all the winds in the world could come and blow it, but it's not going to pull it out of the ground. It's flexible with the wind. It sways one way and the other in the wind. So it looks like it's being very agitated, but it's never uprooted. And then as soon as the ruchos quiet down, the kana stays in its place. So to Klal Yisrael, b'zchus, that we stay in the mayim of Ein Mayim El Torah, the ruchos ra'os, which are remes to the four malchios, they're remes to the four malchios, because the four malchios come from the Arba Ruchos Haaretz, that Bavel comes mitzafon, and Madai from the Mizrach, and Yavon from the Marav, and Edom from the Darom. So all of the four malchios try to destroy us, but they're never going to totally be ochre, they're never going to totally uproot Klal Yisrael. Avol bilam harasha birchan be'erez, but bilam harasha was mevarichas that we should be tall and powerful like a cedar tree. Shnemar ka'arazim alemayim. So ma'erez ein omid b'makomayim, just like an erez is, it's really a klala because an erez is not in a place of water and therefore it's able, it's prone to drying out because it's not in a place where there's where there's a lot of water. So ve'in gizomachlif, and it doesn't. If it gets cut down, it doesn't regrow. Vein shrashim ruben, and it doesn't have a lot of roots. Afilu kol ruch shvol noshus poim zizos somim komo, and you can have really powerful winds, and the erez is powerful. It's going to stand up. But kimet shenoshba ruach dromis o kartav afacht al panav. But once that ruach dromis comes, which is the strongest of all the winds, it could uproot the erez. So too Bilam was cursing Klal Yisrael that in the first three malchios we're going to be able to withstand. But once that ruach dromis comes, that malchus revius, malchus edom, which is in the darom of Eretz Yisrael, then we're not going to be able to withstand it. We're not going to be able to get up to anything. Now, l'chora, it's difficult. If the erez is so terrible, right, that Bilam HaRasha is the one that compares us to an erez, and he thinks it's a bracha, but it's really such a terrible thing. What do we do? Pasukin Tehillim, tzadik hatomer yifrach, ke'erez balvan yizke. So Ben Yoyada explains that an erez has mailos and chisronos, and the tzaddik is like an erez b'ma'alosav. He's like a cedar tree in the mailos of a cedar tree. That he doesn't say ke'erez tam, ke'erez balvan yizke, that it sounds like only for the mailos of an erez. But Bilam said ka'arazim stam, that we should have all the chisronos of an erez as well, of a cedar tree as well. So says the Gemara v'lo od, it turns out that Klal Yisrael prefers the tochacha of one who loves us, of achia Shiloni in comparing us to a reed than the brachos of an enemy like Bilam HaRasha, who compares us to an eretz. So below, oh, not only is this a mile of the kana, elishazach kana lita lemenu kumus luftavos sefer torah nevi muksuvim. The kana is zocha that we use that to be the quill to write sifrei torah nevi muksuvim with the kana. So to klal yisrael in the time of our galus, where we're uprooted from our original location, we're zocha to learn torah, as opposed to the eretz, which is ne'akar, it can't do anything. It just has to be burnt. It's not usable. See, even when a kana is uprooted, but it can learn Torah wherever Klal Yisrael is. Vayihi ben soa aron. The Torah could travel anywhere. Salvechik once said, in a dramatic fashion, that the Rambam already wrote 13 Ikarei Emunah, but if he had a chance to add a 14th Ikarei Emunah, if Salvechik had an opportunity to add a 14th Ikarei Emunah, it would be that the Torah can flourish anywhere. People thought that in America the Torah can never flourish, that is it, but the Torah can flourish anywhere. Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeh Sim Reish Ayin Aleph Siv Zayin, the Rambam writes, Yeshom she yesh lichtov b'kulmus shel kana v'lo benotza, that some say that when you're writing a Sefer Torah, you should dafka use a quill that's made out of a reed and not made out of a feather. And the Bir Agra says, where does he get that from? It's our Gemara, because the kana was zocha because it's because of its properties, that it's representative of Klal Yisrael, and therefore that's the ideal thing to use. The Taz writes that the Mordechai in the first parak of Gittin says this, but he says ein yodea tam l'davar. I don't know why that would be the case, but it's v'lechavra based on our Gemara. And the Sefer Chasidim in some Reish Pei Gimel says that someone was writing a mezuzah with a kumlus shel kana, and his friend said to him that you can write with a kumlus shel etzem also. So in Tshuvas Shelus Yavitz, Rabbi Yaakov Emden explains that the Sofer assumed that the Gemara was saying this liikuva, that the kana was zocha, that you're supposed to use dafka kana, and he was saying it liikuva, and that's why his chaver told him, no, it's a nice idea, but it's not liikuva, that the kumlus that you use, the quill you use for a Sefer Torah, is not dafka, doesn't have to be made out of a kana. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, the Olam Yadam Rach Kikana. Once we're on the topic of a kana, a kana is representative of how a person is supposed to behave. A person should be soft and humble like a kana, va'aliye kasha ke'erez, and he shouldn't be such a balgaiva like an erez that stands tall. Maisa Shabar Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon mi Migdal Gidor mi Beis Rabba. One time Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon was returning from his Rebbe's house where he just learned a lot of Torah, so he was feeling really good about himself. Va'yirach v'alechamar umetayel al sfas nahar, and he was riding on a donkey and he was traveling by the riverbank. V'samach simcha gedol, and he was overjoyed. V'yisadaito gasol av neish lama Torah harbe, and he was feeling a sense of pride because he had just learned so much Torah, so he was feeling prideful about the Torah that he just learned. His damin lo adam echad, and he met a certain person. So Rashi writes on the top over here, Yesh Shorm Shkas ben Eliyo Zohar Latov, that it's Eliyo HaNavi that he met. It wasn't just another Mechad. Shei Mechor B'Yosef. Eliyo HaNavi took on the look of a person who was very ugly. So Amar Lo, the person said to Rabbi Lazar, Eliyo HaNavi said to Rabbi Lazar, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, Shalom Aleichem Rebbe. V'lo Hichsalo. Rabbi Lazar didn't respond to him. Amar Lo, Rabbi Lazar said, Reika, Kaba Mechor, also Ish. How ugly this person is. Shema Kol Bnei Yircha Mechor and Kamoscha, are all the other people in your city as ugly as you are? So the Iyun Yaakov writes, the fact that he was mechuar, that he must have thought that since the Chachma Satorah is Meir Panav Shal Adam, that he's not a Bal Torah, that he's not a Ben Torah, if he's so mechuar. And he must not have Derech Eretz either, because normally a Katan shouldn't be Doresh B'Shlom HaGadol. So so that's why he responded, and he called him a Reka. And then he changed his mind afterwards, when he realized that all the Bnei HaMedina, where he comes from, maybe it's not on account of his lack of Torah. So the man said, Eini Yodea, I don't know if all the other people where I come from are as ugly as me. But if you have complaints, go to the complaint department. Go to the person. Go to the one who made me. Go to the Ribbono Shel Olam and complain that he did a bad job. Tell the Ribbono Shel Olam that the kli that he fashioned is ugly. Then Rabbi Lazar realized he made a mistake, that he did an aveira by speaking this way. So he came down from the donkey and he prostrated himself in front of him. Amar lo, Nanesi l'cha, he says, I obviously hurt you, I harmed you with my words. Mecholli, please be mocholli. This is the Yisra of Ona'as Devarim, that when people say things that are hurtful to other people, it's a very terrible avera. So he said, please be mocholli. I'm not going to be mocholli until you go to the one who made me. And I want you to tell him how ugly it is, the kli that he made. He followed after him and he asked him to be mocholli. Till he got to a city where Reb Lazar lived, then they saw all the people of the city were coming out to greet Reb Lazar. Elazar. He was the rabbi. And they were telling Rabbi Elazar, Shalom Alecha, Rabbi, Rabbi. They were greeting him with fanfare. Mori, Mori. Samar Lahem, this ugly man, said, Lemiatim Koran, Rabbi, Rabbi. Who are you calling Rabbi? Samar Lahem, they said, Lezesha Matay Lacharecha, the guy walking behind you, he's our Rabbi. Amar Lahem, Imzer Rabbi, Al Yibra Kamosa B'Yisrael. If that guy is a Rabbi, he gets to be a Rabbi, then there shouldn't be more like that in the Jewish people. Amar Lahem, so the Bnei'er said, Mipnei Ma, why? What did he do? Samar Lahem, Kach B'Kach Asali. You should have heard the way he spoke to me. Amar Lahem, so the Bnei'er said, Afal Pikein Mechalo, please be Mochalim, Shadim Gadol B'Torah. You have no idea what a giant in Torah he is. Samar Lahem, the man said, Bishvilchem Harini Mochalo. In your Zuchus, in the Zuchus of the Rabbim, in the Zuchus of the Jewish people, I'm going to be Mochalim, Vachle Yeragil Asos Kane. But he can't get in the habit of doing this. He has to stop doing this. It's so interesting. He didn't say, Oblvachle Yasakane Odpam, you know, that he can never do it. That's what Marshal points out, that Vachle Yeragil, that apparently there are certain times that a person does need to be a little bit tough, but he shouldn't certainly be in the habit of doing this with people he never met, to calling them ugly. So Miyad Nichnash Rablazar ben Rabbi Shimon, and right away Rablazar ben Rabbi Shimon went to the Beis Medrash, V'darish L'olam Yeyadam Rach Kekana, and his drasha was that a person should be soft like a reed, Valye Kasha Ke'eriz, and he shouldn't be hard like an Eriz tree, shouldn't be a Balgaiva, and carry himself as if he's better than other people. In the Iyun Yaakov, he says that L'chor, the Musar was a two-way Musar. It wasn't only Musar to himself for what he had just done, acting in Gaiva, but it was also Musar for the guy not being Mochel him. That don't be such a Balgaiva when someone asks for Mechila, that you're not going to be Mochel him. That you should be Mochel right away also when someone asks for Mechila. And that's why the Kana was Zocha, that it's able to be used to write Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and mezuzos. Someone texted me yesterday that the Meiri over here, where he talks about the midos that a Talmud Chacham is supposed to have, and how a person has to, you know, a Ben Torah has to act in a way that reflects the Torah in his personality. So he uses a lashon. I don't know why the Meiri chooses this lashon dafka here, but he uses a lashon that the midos of a Talmud Chacham should be mahadrin min a mahadrin. I don't know where else the Meiri uses that term, but dafka in today's daf, he uses the term that it should be mahadrin. In a mahadrin, the way a Talmud Chacham behaves, the anivus of a Talmud Chacham. V'chein yir sheyish b'devar or mapolis, and a city that has devar or mapolis, so that city has to fast, and all these surrounding cities fast, but they're not matriya. So Tanu Rabbanan, mapolis sha'amru, when we say that mapolis, it means that there are buildings that are caving in, it means brios v'lo ru'os, it means unpredictable, it means buildings that seem like they're strong, and not that already look like they're crumbling. She'en ru'os lipol v'lo ru'os lipol, it means buildings that you don't expect to fall, not buildings that you expect them to fall. What's the difference between saying strong buildings and buildings that you don't expect to fall? And what's the difference between a crumbling building and a building that is about to fall? Aren't they the same thing? So why do we say it twice? So it could be that you could have a strong building that's roi lipol because it's so tall, so it's just has a weak foundation. The foundation is not enough for it. Inami tekaimin agudu denaru, or it's located right by the water, and the water has a way of crumbling away, of causing the foundations to crumble, and therefore, even though it's strong in a certain sense, but it's roi lipol. So kiyahia shisa, there was a certain wall ru'ua that was crumbling. David bin Arda, that was in Arda, delava chalaf from Rav Shmuel tusa. Rav and Shmuel would not go underneath that wall because they didn't want to die. They didn't want it to cave in on them. Avgav the Kaim Basra Tlaysa Shinin, even though it had been there for 13 years and nothing had happened yet, it hadn't moved, they thought it was an accident waiting to happen. So Yomachad Ikla Ravad Baravala. So one time Ravad Barav was there, Samuel Shmuel the Rav. So Shmuel said to Rav, Nesi Mar Nakif, let's go around and not go on near this wall, because that's our minog. We're concerned about it falling. Samuel Rav said, Lo Tzarichni, no, today we're good. Diko Ravad Barav Badan, Denafish Sukhuse. Ravad Barav is with us, and he has tremendous Sukhuyos, Lomis Tafina. We don't have to be afraid when Ravad Barav is here, meaning his zuchiyos are such that the wall is not going to fall on him. Rav Huna Avaleihu Chamra, similar story. Rav Huna had wine, Bahu Beis Ri'iya, in a place that was also crumbling, and it could be he was going to lose all his wine because the whole thing was going to crumble. Ubay Lefnuya, so he wanted to get the wine out of there, but it's dangerous to go in. He was going into a condemned building in order to get his wine, and he wanted to make sure that the building wouldn't cave in on him. So he did the trick. He brought Ravad Barava into the building, and he said, "You stay here," and he stayed started talking to him and learning. So mashchi b'shmeita. So he talked to him and learning. Adapanya, until he moved all the wine out of there. So he came in. You know, he had his worker schlepping the wine out as he's talking to Rav Adbarav and learning. Rav Adbarav is, what are we doing here? Okay, but you know, talking and learning, and he just continues having the conversation. But Basa de Nafak, as soon as Rav Adbarav left, Nafal Basa, the whole house caved in. So Argish Rav Adbarav, Rav Adbarav realized what Rafuna was up to. The Ikbid, he got upset. What are you using me as your lucky charm to, you know, to stop the you're bringing me into all these dangerous places? So Savlak Yadam Rabbi Yanai. And the reason he was upset was because he held like Rabbi Yanai, the alone al yamra the makom sakan v'yomar osin l'neis. Person not supposed to rely on a neis. You don't put yourself in a dangerous place and say, "Don't worry, a miracle will happen." Shamein osin l'neis. Maybe a miracle won't happen. Vim tim tzulamar osin l'neis. Minakul zuchiyosav. And even if a neis does happen, it will take away from your zuchiyos, because when miracles happen for a person, that costs them in their bank account in Shamayim. It costs them zuchiyos. So Amar Rav Chanan Maikra, what's the pasuk that tells you that it takes away from your zuchiyos? Because by Yaakov Avinu, before he met up with Esav, it says Katonti Mikola Chasad Mikola Emes. Then because all of the good things Hashem has done for me, Katonti, I've become smaller. My zuchiyos have become smaller. It's taken its eaten away at my zuchiyos. What was so special about Rav Adbarava that he had these zuchiyos? The Talmidim asked him point blank. They said, "No, what's so great about you? What do you do? What are your anagos that you were zochet to in Arichos Yamim? That dangerous things are not going to affect you, and you still get to live long." So Malami says seven anagos. Number one, miyamelok pati b'toch besi. I never get angry at home. My house is a peaceful and serene environment, and that's why the Gemara in Gittin says lo yato lo demem yaseira b'toch besi. So person has to be calm in their home. Number two, lo tzadi b'fnei misha gadol mimeni. I never took a step in front of someone who's gadol mimeni. I had such covet for my rebbeim that even though the rebbe is in the middle and the Talmud that's gadol is on his right side and the Talmud that's katan is on his left side. So when you're walking in stride with somebody, sometimes you'll step ahead of them a little bit. He says, I always stayed a step back. I never went a step ahead of my Rebbe. Number three, v'lor harti b'mavos ha'matunafos. I never had hirurim of divrei Torah in places that were dirty that you're not allowed to be ma'ar b'divrei Torah. Number four, v'lo alachti ar amos b'lo Torah b'lo tefillin. I never went four amos without Torah, without learning Torah, without wearing tefillin. Number five, v'lo yishanti b'es ha'medj lo shinus keva v'lo shinus harai. I never slept in the b'es ha'medj, not even a nap. Number six, v'lo sachti b'takolos chaveray. I never had inner joy over someone else's stumbling. And number seven, I never called anybody else by some other name, whatever some other name means. Rashi Tosus writes, either a nickname that's a derogatory nickname or by his family name. I never called him just by his last name. I would call a person by the name that they were called at their bris, by a name that that represents who they are. So once the Gemara brings the story that Rav Huna was relying on the zechuyos of Rav Adbarava that the house shouldn't fall in, the Gemara says, you should know, Rav Huna was also an Adam Gadol. And the only reason he wasn't, the Yun Yaakov explains, the only reason he wasn't being somech on his own zechuyos was because of his anivus. Some of the Rav, Raf and Bar Papa, Lemel and Mar Mahani, Mil Malia, Sadava, Avid Rav Huna. Maybe tell us some good Rav Huna stories. Some of the Biankuse, Lo Dechirna. I don't remember any stories from his youth, what he used to do, but in his old age, dechirna, that I do remember. To kol yom de'eva, any day that was cloudy, and there was a chashash that because it was windy, that walls would fall in, havu mafkilei, they would bring out Rav Huna b'guarka t'dava on a golden in a golden box that was built on a wagon, v'sayel l'kulim masa, and he would go around and check the entire city, he would examine the whole city, v'kol hashisa davas reyusa, and any wall that looked like it was going to cave in, that looked like it wasn't stable, have a sasala, he would break down the wall, and he efshar lemara banila, if the person who owned it had the money, they would rebuild it, v'ilo efshar, but if they didn't have the money to rebuild, the banila yumididei, he would pay to rebuild that wall. So he was worried about public safety. That was a great thing, number one, about Rav Huna. Because second thing, v'kalpani demali shabbata, every Erev Shabbos, have a mashadu shlucha l'shuka, he would send a shliach into the shuk, v'kal yarka dava payish l'liginai zavenlei, and any yirakos that were not sold, he would would buy v'shadil al-dinar, and he would throw them into the river. So because he didn't want that the salesman shouldn't bring vegetables to the market next week, thinking that there's not enough demand for it. So he'd make sure they'd sell out every week, so that they would bring enough vegetables so people would have for Shabbos. But this for the aniyim. But why did he throw it into the river? Just give it to aniyim. Zimin the samchat datai. We didn't want the aniyim to be somech on him, because maybe one week he won't have, and then they won't have for their Shabbos table. V'loso the mizman. They're not going to buy it. V'lishna the beima. But at least give it to an animal. Ksavar machla the main machil the beima. He held that you're not allowed to feed something that is edible for humans to an animal, because that's considered a bizoy ochlin, and it's considered like you're being boit betova. You're rejecting the tova that Hakadosh Baruch Hu's mashpia, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu's giving you tova, and you're throwing it to the animal. So he threw it to a river. Throwing it to the river wasn't throwing it in the garbage. It wasn't discarding it, because he was hoping that on the other side of the river, it would appear on the other side of the river, there would be some town there, and they would find it, and then people would eat it on the other side of the river. Why did he buy it in the first place? So nimtzeis makshil l'asalavo, because he wanted that they'll always bring more vegetables to the market. That's why he brought it to the market. Kiavale milsa da susa. Whenever he had a refuah, havamali kuzaya demaya, he would fill up a kli with that refuah. V'tayle b'sifat the beis, and he would hang the refuah by his doorstep. Amar called the bayi lesi v'lishkal. He didn't when he discovered new pharmaceutical. He didn't hike up the prices because he's the one that discovered it. He made it available to everyone. V'igadamri milsa de shivsa have a gamer that he was a bucky in the minig of shadim of a particular shade that was called shivsa. Who are mazik those who don't do netilas yadayim? He'd always make water available from a kol district klesi v'leil delol stakin, and he would tell people that anyone who wants could come and do netilas yadayim, and therefore you could avoid sakana. Okay, we'll continue with the fourth hanhaga of Rav Huna Bez Hashem at the bottom of the page tomorrow. Everyone have a great day and a frei lechem lichderachana.